zoologists get fighty. First, let's introduce our guests. Our first guest today is Joy Aston. She is the personification of enthusiasm. Well, that's what it said on her last job application. Joy, which creature will you be championing today?
Today, I'm going to be championing the devil's coach horse beetle.
Oh, yes. All right. We also have Emma. She's small and feisty. Emma, which animal are you championing today?
I, Catherine, am championing the spotted hyena.
And finally, we have the Bat Conservation Trust's Hannah Van Hesterton. Hannah, I'm assuming it's some sort of bat.
It's a noctowl, my favourite UK species.
And I'm Catherine Webb. All right, let's have a run through of the rules. There are three rounds. In each round, the creatures will have to face a scenario and try to survive it. Contestants, if you feel your creature is not up to the task, you can turn over your wild card. You can only do this once in the competition. At the end of each round, your creature will be judged. The judge's rule is final, and I am the judge. Okay, on with the first scenario. Our first scenario is the Natural History Museum wants to make a new exhibit for future generations to see. Why should your species be put in the museum and why will your exhibit be the best? And Joy looks like she can answer that.
So the other two animals are mammals, right? And mammals are a bit rubbish. I'm not gonna lie. Insects are gonna inherit the earth. So why not champion the devil's coach horse beetle? It's a native species. It's pretty badass. So when it's stressed out, it curls up its little... It's about 3 inches. It's about the size of my thumb. It curls its tail up above itself like a scorpion and faces people. And in the Middle Ages, they used to think it was cursing people. But what it really does is spray a foul-smelling liquid that may or may not be poop.
Is that how it got its name, then?
People just used to think it was cursing them.
Is that why they called it the devil?
The devil's beetle in Ireland, but it's devil's coach horse beetle now, yeah.
Where does the coach horse come from?
Don't know. Probably the 13. Is it the 13 riders of the apocalypse or something? Isn't there something to do with that?
It's the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
The four horsemen. Oh, I've got it wrong. I don't know. In Ireland, it's called the devil's beetle.
I like to think that it makes a clippity-cloppity sound as it walks around.
It's quite a big beetle. But I think it would basically... It's a badass.
Yeah. And I've seen one. It was cool.
They're going to inherit the earth. So might as well big up our insect overlords.
So the gist of the exhibition is going to be, here, children, when you're all extinct, this little beetle will still be squirting poop at things.
Yep.
All right, cool. Hannah?
Well, you can't lose with bats because they do everything. They're basically like superheroes. So loads to talk about in a museum, you know. They're great at listening, which doesn't sound like a super skill, but it is very cool. And also, bats, you know, they're the fastest and they live for ages and they've been around for ages. And my favourite thing about noctowls is they're quite big. They're the biggest bat in the UK, still tiny. And they've got ginger hair. And I love ginger hair, just saying. And they're really shouty. Got faces like dogs. So, you know, I think all of these...
They sound adorable.
Yeah, so cute. You know, and also you can accompany it. Does anyone want to go on a bat walk after the museum exhibit?
You could go on a beetle walk.
Could you? Is that fun?
I've had a lot of fun on insect walks in the past.
Emma?
So, hyenas, pretty cool. Children are going to be interested in them because if you've seen The Lion King, like ever, that is your first experience of a hyena. That might not be the best experience of a hyena because in a lot of different cultures, they aren't viewed very well. They're viewed as greedy, they're viewed as selfish, they're viewed as vermin. But in some cultures, in the Maasai culture in sub-Saharan Africa where they live, they actually respect them so much that they leave their dead out to be consumed by hyenas. Also, they're not just scavengers, they are in fact hunters. They have at least 50% of their diet consists of them actively hunting for food. They have been around for a very, very long time. They peaked in the Miocene when they had 24 different species of hyena. That is 24. Now there are like three and a half, depending on how you define a species. And there's an evolution of bone crushing, which only extant living species have. But the most unique thing about the hyena is the fact that it is the only mammal that does not have an external vaginal opening. I'm going to tell you how that works. It's quite weird. So originally when people were studying hyenas, they were like, where are all the females? Everybody's got a penis. There don't seem to be any females. And it transpired that actually the clitoris of the female is so enlarged that it looks like a penis. It's what is called a pseudopenis. It can be about 7 inches long. It's one of the largest clitorises in the animal kingdom in relation to body size. It moves like a penis, it's erect like a penis, it does everything a penis does, but it's not. They even have something called a pseudoscrotum where the labia have fused together to make a kind of sac. It is impossible to have forced copulation with a female spotted hyena. in order to have sex with a female hyena, the males, which are usually submissive anyway, have to kind of court them. They have to be very gentle. And then if they're allowed to have sex, the female has to retract her clitoris into her body to reveal a tube called the urogenital tube in order for the male to insert his penis. And he kind of has to stand on his hind legs and do like a weird kind of squat position. They are the only mammal that does this. It's kind of incredible. So you could have the entire thing about that. I feel like that could be an interactive exhibit, you know, with kind of mechanical bits that they can play with, work out how it all fits together. And you can have clips of the Lion King everywhere. And that's why we'd be the best.
Argument. Aren't a lot of museums supposed to be like child friendly and family friendly?
That's just a body part, isn't it? I don't see how that's not child friendly.
But I am just imagining a child interacting with
a giant fake clitoris.
A fake hyena clitoris. I'm just loving that image. It sounds like an exhibition that I would go to.
But would you take your kids?
Yeah, to be fair, I probably would.
You could have a blow-up tunnel symbolising this urogenital tract because they have to birth children out of this tract.
True. They could crawl through it.
I also like that's the sexiest name for a... anything.
Urogenital tract.
Why would you big up a species that there's only like 2.5 species in the world, whereas beetles are one of the most diverse groups?
Bats are pretty diverse. They are like a third of all mammal species.
Really?
Yeah, you could have a whole museum.
A lot of bats.
I might start the bat museum, actually.
A bat museum would be so awesome.
Yeah. Also, there's those kind of cool pieces of equipment, aren't there, that allow you to hear bat calls at a frequency that you can hear. And that would be really fun in a museum.
A very technical device called a bat detector.
Ooh, is that like the ghost detectors?
Almost. When you're standing in the streets of London with a bat detector, people think, well, I assume people think that I'm, you know, ghost busting or possibly looking out for UFOs or... standing outside people's homes and churches with a bit of equipment, you know, you look a bit suspicious, but it's all fun and games.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. Right, okay, I think it's time to come up with a winner to this. Emma's won by talking the most again. All right.
And that was the sound of a hyena laughing.
All right, next scenario. Humans have finally colonised the moon and are sending a rocket there with the prime Earth species that will help the migration efforts. Why should you be on it? I feel like Joy is looking blank, but as an invertebrate, she's probably has the best chance. What
insect
do you think?
Protein is going to be one of the next, you know, it's going to feed the world in the future. So obviously it's a logical solution to colonising another planet. Beetles, high protein. It's almost impossible to kill a lot of them.
Are they delicious, the Kurt Ross beetle?
You can make them delicious.
How?
You know, bit of spice, bit of cumin.
For anybody who has ever listened to Joy before on this show, she often tries to save her animal by turning it into some kind of food.
People love food. You know, I love a beetle. Why not combine the two? As an almost lifelong vegetarian, I went on a date a while ago where we went to this restaurant and you could add ant eggs to your meal.
Why?
Where the heck was that?
It was a Lao restaurant. It was in London, obviously, because it's like London. But I went and I was like, how is that any different to eating chicken eggs?
Well, good question.
As a vegetarian, so I did it. I was like, you know, it's not weird. It was fine until there were, like, actually ants in the bottom of my bowl. And I was like, oh, it's too much like my undergraduate project where I was, like, dissecting insects in the middle of nowhere for weeks at a time. And it got weird and I didn't want to eat them then because it was too traumatic.
So your argument is that we can eat the coach horse beetle.
And they're really easy to raise.
Are we going
to
make sure that it squirts all its poo out first?
Well, there's a lot of animals people eat that have toxins in them. You wouldn't eat the... You know, when you butcher an animal, you can't eat the intestinal tract. You have to clean it out. You have to cut it around the mouth. I'm not going to go into detail about how you, like, actually butcher an animal, but you get rid of the intestinal tract because that bit's bad.
Fair,
The same with all the animals that people eat.
Okay, and they're light, so it's going to be easy to get them up there.
Don't, you know, breed quickly.
Okay.
So the moon is going to be overrun by these beetles in, like, 2 seconds.
Like the planet's overrun with cows.
But the point is we're moving to the moon to avoid all these problems.
Yeah, but beetles don't emit methane, I assume.
But they do shit everywhere.
So do we.
We'll need more shit on the moon, won't we? Because we need soil.
Fertiliser.
The young coach horse beetles are actually, I think, no, do they? I can't remember if they eat carrion or. They live in dead matter, so they'd also be good recyclers, maybe.
So when people died on the moon, they'd be all over that.
Only a little bit, because they're not. I don't think they're specialist carrion beetles.
You need blowflies for that.
You need both. You need blowflies. You'd need all sorts, but they'd contribute. More okay. than these animals.
I'm going to stop you before you persuade me that it's not a good idea. Hannah, bats. Bats on the moon.
Yeah, they're
a common image.
Pretty well. They can fly themselves up there, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
Question.
No.
Can bats fly in zero gravity?
Yes.
Can they breathe in zero gravity?
Sure. Yeah, just give them tiny little helmets. They'll be all right.
So you're going to invent tiny little oxygen tanks to get your bats to the moon. They can go in a rocket. That was the scenario.
Yeah, they probably could go in a rocket, couldn't they? But when they get there, they'd be really helpful. They're practically man's best friend, aside from dogs. You know, great pollinators. As long as the nocturnals can bring, you know, his 13,000 friends, or 1,300 friends even, they'll pollinate things, they eat the seeds, they fly halfway around the moon, poop and back out again. So that's helpful. We can bring tequila to the moon if we bring bats to the moon, because agave is the plant that you get tequila from. The only way that it's pollinated is through bats. You're welcome.
I'm sold.
You know, pest controllers, they'll eat all of the pests that are eating the food that we're trying to grow. They'll do that and, you know, give us joy.
They sound good. I don't like tequila.
Catherine.
It was in the north and in the 90s. Oh. Right, okay, Emma, why should the hyena go to the moon?
So, the hyena may not seem the best first choice to go to the moon, as it can be quite aggressive and has very complex social groups, so may end up in fact becoming the dominant species on the moon. But if we're talking about how it's going to help humans, I think we've got it covered. We do not know if aliens are real. I know people have been to the moon, but really, do we know if there's not some alien species kind of lurking, waiting to attack us, or another alien species from a part of the galaxy happens to colonise it at the same time as us? How are you going to defend yourselves? Well, the spotted hyenas have got you covered, because they have clans that are about 80 to 100 strong, but you don't even have to take that many of them, because one hyena can take down an animal which is four times its size. An animal like the hyena could take down an aggressive alien that is up to four times its size, and then if you have a whole clan of them... Although they do tend to go out hunting in smaller groups of like five. But even a smaller group of five is going to defend you pretty well. And also in some areas there has been more positive relationships between hyenas and humans, where they kind of started to work together. So I think they'd be a really beneficial species to take with you on a rocket to the moon.
Okay, I'm not bringing them, because you would have to try and make them reproduce a lot up there, and that would be cruel. Joy wins that one, I think, because it's going to be easy to bring them up there. They're going to eat all the waste. They're obviously the right choice. So off you go to the moon. Okay, on to the next scenario. You've been scouted for the new series of Strictly Come Dancing and will be required to learn new moves every week. Which one of you is going to get furthest in the competition? What kind of moves are you going to do? How are you going to impress the grumpy one and the like flamboyant one and the girls in the middle?
I think bats would do pretty darn well on that. They're really acrobatic in their flight. They're really, really agile movers anyway. So if you watch one at night, it's pretty much dancing for you. Use a little bit of imagination. And some researchers, when they're following bats, maybe they're trying to follow a bat back to a maternity roost, they'll bring it down and they'll actually put a little bit of almost like a tiny glow stick on it, so that you can follow it in the dark. So, you know, it's basically got its own warning sequins. Just put a few of those on him and, you know, he'll do you a nice show. And especially if we choreograph strictly to coincide with autumn, when bats do autumn swarming, which is basically loads and loads of guy bats getting all together outside of maybe a cave entrance. So as long as we can get those two ladies that present it to come outside a cave, which I think would be no problem, just, you know, just watch them do their thing. And it's all these men and they're basically, you know, doing all these sexual cha-cha moves for the ladies that come in.
That's probably going to smash
good.
It actually.
Yeah, that sounds good. So what you're suggesting is a mashup of Strictly Come Dancing and Autumn Watch.
That sounds amazing.
And a neon
that sounds
rave.
Like my dream. Me and my mum would sit down and watch that.
Oh yeah. My god,
I have a problem for you.
I think
you there.
We've just come up with the best program ever.
Yeah,
BBC is going to be all over that.
I have a problem for you though. batshit. Not sure the audience is going to like being pooed on.
Oh, no, I don't think that's too much of a problem, especially if you use the old Noctule. No health risk associated with the bat dropping, I'll have you know.
Just feed them a load of, what's it called? What do you take before you go on a really long megabus journey? What's that you take?
Mint cake.
Imodium. Just feed them a load of that. Are you all right?
So you're proposing that we feed a whole load of bats Imodium? Is this not an animal rights issue?
Well, we feed animals things all the time.
But do we feed bats things?
We feed pigeons contraceptives.
Do we?
Yeah, in the Vatican, they have no problem. Give all the pigeons some contraceptives.
They do it in the Vatican as well.
I think it's most of Italy.
Or did you just make that
up? No, I got told that once, so it might not be a true fact, but in my mind, I've been told that by a slightly reliable source. We're gonna have to Google that.
Cool. I think that we've just come up with the BBC's next big thing. Right, Emma, how are you going to top that?
Hyenas have already starred in The Lion King, which, as we know, has been made into a musical. Therefore, hyenas are very rhythmical. They move around a lot. And because they live in such big social groups, like about 100, they are actually one of the socially most complicated mammals. And they resemble primates in their social connections. And there's a lot of bartering, there's a lot of trading. They're actually matrilineal, which is pretty cool. But my point is, because they have such big social groups, they have to have a huge range of vocalizations. So many. I know we know that hyenas laugh. We hear them as this kind of laughing species, although actually they only do that when they're stressed. But they have a huge range of vocalizations, from tappings to growlings to kind of cooings. And I feel like, as part of Strictly Come Dancing, I know, Catherine, I know you're not impressed, but I feel as though they can add a huge range of musical vocalizations to their rhythmical dancing as they swing their pseudo penises everywhere and their large tails.
Strictly got X-rated.
Who does not want to watch a female hyena cha-chaing and also magically portraying their pseudo penis? And they're very spotted, they have amazing coats, they're very beautiful, they won't even need any costumes, they'll be so glamorous already that everybody will love them. And I think we're going to get the furthest in Strictly.
Can I have a wild card animal to consider? My wild card animal for this week, guys, thanks to Catherine, is the earthworm. The scenario is Strictly Come Dancing, right? Yeah, okay. Right, imagine this. The Strictly studio, it's got that big space in the middle, yeah. Imagine it's actually now a huge expanse of soil. And wriggling out of the earth come so many worms.
You could have a whole troop of them and they could, like, be
obviously
synchronised wriggling.
It's going to be, you know, they'll be like, you're only allowed one worm. And I'll be like, well, we're going to chop this worm in half. Just keep going. If they won't let me have more than one worm, I will make multiple worms. There's going to be tens and hundreds of thousands of worms in the studio, in the middle of the room. And they will all wriggle up and they will create structures. They will wrap themselves around each other and they will build themselves up from the ground and build structures. And it will be an enormous, like, you know, when you see, like, people doing, like, shadow puppetry or some stuff on the wall, but it will be made of worms and it will be huge and the audience will not know what just happened. And
will
break records for how many times it's retweeted on the...
It sounds amazing, John.
Intense.
It sounds... like
groundbreaking,
worrying.
Probably one of the least plausible answers that
I've
had.
I think
because have you ever seen an earthworm outside of the earth?
It's you didn't specify if they weren't giant earthworms, because aren't those a thing?
They're
in Australia?
Pretty limp as well.
They're not that big.
Yeah, but they're big enough that they could maybe genetically modify them to be able to build muscle.
You're going
to
use science.
Yeah. Going to use some science, right?
Okay, I really like the idea, and I would definitely watch it. I would even watch it if they were just, like, in lines and they just poke their heads out and wiggled in sequence.
Aren't worms super sensitive to light?
It'd be dark and all the worms would be genetically modified to be glowing with a jellyfish protein.
But they need the light in order to film. Yeah. So if you're filming and there's light,
Blue
they're going to get
two.
So confused.
Blue Planet 2, they've just done underwater filming in very low light. We'd be using the same technology.
But worms don't live underwater.
No, they don't, but they use low lighting filming techniques.
But then the audience can't see.
It's for the live... Like, most of the audience Strictly is on the TV.
TV audience.
Come on.
I think that sounds really cool, and I would kind of quite like to let it win, but I think there's a clear winner is the bat.
Yeah.
There.
I was just trying really hard.
So now we've got a tiebreak.
Oh, do we?
Three-way tiebreak, haven't we?
Have we actually?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Shall we wrestle, or...?
Very, very quick last scenario, and the winner of this one is the winner. So, last one. This is the... final scenario. All the rest of you are going to die. You're fighting for your life. Here's the scenario. Brexit.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Brexit is happening. Science funding is getting cut. please argue why we should continue funding research for your animal.
My animal's invasive in America and Australasia, so you should probably want to figure that out.
Okay, good. Two sentences.
My spotted hyena is the only mammal that does not have an external vagina. And as several studies have shown, we know very little about anatomical features of all vaginas, and therefore they should continue to be studied. In addition to that, they also have amazing hearing, eyesight, and complex social groups, and it would be worth studying those matrilineal lines and inheritance issues further.
The person who's judging this is probably sexist and doesn't care about vaginas.
You're not
and
sexist.
Also, you're a foreigner. All right, Hannah.
Noctuals are native species, and also because their wings are made up of their hands, they fly it via the medium of jazz hands.
Ooh.
So I want to research that.
That is so cool. Right, I'm not going to research. The scenario is Brexit, and I think the people who are in charge of Brexit don't give a shit about vaginas.
Oh.
Sorry.
Fair.
I'm not saying that I don't care about vaginas. I love vaginas.
I mean, this is why I didn't vote for Brexit. So.
Yeah. So we're down to the two native species. and
xenophobia at its finest.
Just the mention of jazz hands has won me over.
I agree.
I think if you can get Boris to such a high position for just being a bumbling clown, you can get a bat to be have its
jazz-handed
funding preserved
bat.
For its jazz hands.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Hannah Van Hesseton, I said it wrong.
It's near enough.
Say it for me.
Good effort.
Say it for me.
Hesterin.
Hesterin.
The way it's spelled.
Hannah Van Hesterin is the winner!
Yay!